In confusion and uncertainty, there emerges a guiding light, a beacon that cuts through the darkness. Welcome to Beacon of Truth with your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Beacon of Truth. I'm your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, and you're listening on the EW10 Global Catholic Radio Network. So great to be here with you, and we're continuing our tour of Texas with the Australian speakers. This has been such a blessed experience, I have to tell you. We were in Lockhart last night at St. Mary of the Visitation Catholic Church. Beautiful crowd, wonderful reception. And now we are here in Kerrville, Texas, at Notre Dame Catholic Church, or as my Australian friends have been saying, Notre Dame Catholic Church here in Kerrville. So we'll be here tonight from 6 to 8. So please come and join us. And this has been a wonderful experience. So as we've been traveling, you know, like I said, I feel like a musician on tour, you know, like it's like first night was Grapevine. Good night, Grapevine. Then we drive to the next city, Fort Worth, drive to the next city, Lockhart, drive to the next city, Kerrville. Then tomorrow we're in San Antonio. Then we're back up in Buda. Then we're in Pearland. Then we're Orange. So it's been wonderful living out of a suitcase and having great conversations with the guys in the car. You know, it's usually at least an hour or more drive to the next city. You know, set up the merch table, getting ourselves ready, praying together, going to mass together, daily mass together, praying the rosary in the car. It's been a beautiful experience, you know, and this is our third year doing this, and we're just loving it. So if you're going to be in the area, Kerrville, Texas tonight, Notre Dame Catholic Church, come and join us. The priest here, by the way, Father Scott, is awesome. He, when I first met him, he was at another parish before being reassigned to here just a few months ago. And when I saw him, I got really happy. I'm like, oh, man, so good to see him. Fantastic priest. So I'm very excited for tonight. And so, you know, sometimes you're like, we know we're doing this to bring joy and hope, especially this Jubilee Year of Hope to people. And the response that we've been getting so far has been tremendous. You know, this is such a blessing to see God working in people's lives. And got an email from someone who attended a talk last night, just a little snippet of it. It says, I loved all of the speakers. I took my daughter with me. She's been dealing with alcohol for many years now. She's 59. I don't know what to do anymore. She tried so many things and nothing has helped. She really enjoyed listening to all of you. And I specifically touched on that subject, again, not knowing that this young lady would be there, but I just happened to talk on the subject in my talk about divine mercy. So she said, I've been a Catholic all my life. Thank you so much for coming here. And this is, you know, why we do this, you know, to bring hope, to bring joy, to hopefully bring God's peace to people. It was so much negativity and violence and in the world today, so much division. You know, we want to bring unity. You know, we want to bring the message of the gospel. You know, so people are focusing on all the news, on the negative. No, let's focus on having a deep, intimate, personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That's why we do these speaking tours. You know, it's not about the money, that's for sure. Because quite frankly, it's beyond me. I'm spending a lot of my own money on this. But I don't care because it's that important. It is that important. Just absolutely thrilled to be doing this, especially with these guys. Man, I come to love these guys over the years, all my years traveling to Australia, now third time bringing them here to the United States and doing this tour. And it's been just an incredible, incredible blessing. And we're ticking some things off the list, by the way, as well. So one of them was Tex-Mex, which we had yesterday, which they really, homemade, by the way. We went to a good friend of mine's house, Alfredo and Susan. They cooked an incredible Tex-Mex meal for us. These guys experienced that. Check. Then there was Whataburger. Check. No, that's like, you got to go to Whataburger if you're in Texas. Then Chick-fil-A today for lunch. Check. And the last tick is, as far as food is concerned, is barbecue. They got the Texas barbecue. So we're going to be ticking that off the list tomorrow. Thank you for your prayers. Keep praying for us. And we will pray for you, especially when we pray the rosary every day in the car, going to Mass every day. We'll be keeping you in our intentions as well. Well, my friends, today is Wednesday. You know what that means? It's Word of God Wednesday on Beacon of Truth. We're breaking open God's Word for the readings for this Sunday, the 26th Sunday of Ordinary Time. Awesome parable by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ about the rich man and Lazarus in the bosom of Abraham. That's the reading for this Sunday. So we'll do some reflections on that. So grab your Bibles or break it open God's Word today on Word of God Wednesday on Beacon of Truth. And we'd love to hear from you. This is a very popular parable. A lot of people really love this, and it really helps to put things in perspective about what's really important in life. Would love to hear from you. Give us a call. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. You know, some of the people I wish that were on tour with me are the people that bring you this show every day. I'm talking about Matt Gabinski, who's screening your calls, and Michael McCall and Pedro Quiles, who do social media. And of course, I wish my man was with me on the road here, you know, not to be a roadie. Of course not, because we got to do all the stuff ourselves. We're our own roadies on this tour. But just to have Ace to experience life on the road with us. Ace McKay, how you doing, brother?
I'm good, man. I have to say, when you start talking about food, you should lead with that. When you start talking about these trips, hey, man, we're going to hit this and go here and eat this. I mean, you know, you had me at let's go eat.
Yeah, this is great because, you know, what our typical thing is we get up in the morning, go to church, pack up the we got a big Ford Expedition 7-seater, we drive to the next gig, usually about an hour and a half, 2 hours. It was 3-hour drive yesterday,
yeah.
Only an hour and a half today. And then we pray the rosary in the car. We have some great conversations about all kinds of Catholic stuff. You know, we talk about our experiences of the church and speaking and writing and all this kind of stuff. It's been fantastic. And so we got to the church today, set up the merch table, talk with Father, talk with the guy who's running logistics here at the parish. And so we went to Chick-fil-A, and now those guys are resting at the hotel while I'm here doing the show.
Yeah. That's good. So I'm curious, when you, as a Chick-fil-A geek at times, do you have a go-to? I mean, I don't even get to eat a ton, but...
Spicy chicken sandwich deluxe.
There you go. That's it. And now they have the pretzel bun, so that makes
it... I was thinking about it, but for me, the pretzel bun is a little too hard. I like that soft,
sure,
that softer bun, more like a potato bun kind of a thing. I think for me, the pretzel bun is a little bit too, I mean, I don't know if it's a soft pretzel thing or what, but it looked like it was brownish. So it looked like it was kind of more of a hard pretzel thing. And I don't know. I just wanted to go with what I traditionally go with, I guess.
You like what you like.
Yeah. Although I have to try it though, because you know, you may not like it till you try it kind of a thing.
Sure.
So I might do that next time. I'm sure we're going to be hitting Chick-fil-A again before the tour is over. That's for sure.
Well, and in most cases, it's like limited time, right? They want to see how well people, because they have to make it special to keep bringing you back in. Otherwise, if it's there all the time, you just kind of take it for granted. But I always like, especially now in a day and age with social media, where people will create like, you know, fast food hacks. So like, oh, you should order this, and then instead of this, substitute this, and it's amazing. Or you swap out a sauce or whatever, and that's when, you know, as we get closer to dinner time, it's like, okay, yeah, all of that sounds great right now.
Yeah. And one of the things that we look forward to, and I'm sure bands do this, they just probably do it in a hotel, is go out to eat afterward.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so after the gig is over, after we, you know, do the pictures and sell the merch and autographs and all that kind of stuff, we go out to find a place to eat. And we went to Whataburger last night because it was open.
You know,
The places are open past 9 o'clock. So we'll have to figure out a place to go tonight. And again, this has just been a wonderful experience. Doing the tour. Like I said, I very, very much feel like a musician. You know, like I warm up my voice before I talk every night, and just like in the practice room, and you're warming up your fingers, your drums, boom, 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 warming up your hands,
yeah.
And you know, getting your muscles limber and ready to go out there and play. And I very, very, very much feel like that. And so that's why I love putting the music and the faith together.
Yeah.
Or at least in this case, we're not singing, but I mean, it feels that way.
Yeah. Well, and especially like when you go like somewhere to eat afterwards, it's late. So a lot of times people like asking you why you're in town or whatever, and then it just gives you opportunity of ministry there too.
Yeah, because they see, especially I wear the crucifix. I mean, actually, Charbel's been wearing his miraculous medal. I've been wearing the crucifix and miraculous medal. Say, oh, what are you guys doing? And they hear the accents, of course. Right. Where are you guys from? From the South?
Right.
And Kevin said, oh, yeah, we're from the deep South. We're from the land down under. You know, so it's just been wonderful. And then people here have been so gracious and so wonderful. It's just, you know, so we made the right decision to tour Texas this time.
Well, and it changes too when you versus the pilgrimage when you go to other countries, and you might not necessarily want to eat what's on the table because it looks a little weird.
Yeah, you know? Yeah.
It's like I'm good. I'm gonna have a power bar.
There you go. I'm Deacon Harold Brick. Service is Word of God Wednesday. We're breaking open God's Word for the 26th Sunday in Ordinary Time. A very powerful, powerful by our Lord today. Would love to hear from you. Give us a call. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Sounds like kind of like The Cure.
Yeah. I like the...
Yeah.
Which I always... A drummer trick. You might not necessarily pay attention to drummers on this. Most drummers are right-handed, or when they play a right-handed setup, they're coming down with the right hand. But yeah. I'm left-handed, so I always did the left. And other drummers, when I was in school, used to go, man, why are you doing it wrong? I'm like, I'm not doing it wrong. I'm doing it right by me. And then it was years later, I went to like this drum clinic and a right-handed drummer was playing it with the left hand down. And I was like, are you left-handed? He goes, no, but this frees up this hand so I can go up. And I was like, I am doing it right.
Yeah, yeah, there you go. So because you're left-handed, you put the snare in front of you or like to the left a little bit?
Yeah, so I kind of have the same mindset of like Ringo. Like when you show up to a gig, if the drum set's there or your drum tech is right-handed, they're going to set it up the way that most drum sets are set. But it's a matter of how you play the lick. So you might accent with your left hand. So a lot of like the unique flares that he came up with for like Come Together and She Loves You and all that stuff, it's because what George Martin wanted him to play as a normal right-handed person, he couldn't make his body do because he's also left-handed. So he would come up with something that would work and it would be this unique whatever. And people go, it's blew my mind. How'd you come up with that? He's like, I'm just not right-handed. So
yeah,
it's like nothing, you know, over the top. Like he didn't come to him in a dream or anything like that. It was just left-handed versus right-handed.
Well, look at Jimi Hendrix, right? He took a right-handed Strat and he turned it upside down.
Yeah.
And that's how he played. And there's still some players today who actually I've seen. I mean, they string it, you know, like the regular string. So not playing the high E string on the bottom.
Sure.
On the top. So they restring it, but they're playing it the way Jimi Hendrix did. I was like, wow, that's pretty cool. Mm,
that's awesome.
Very innovative. I'm Deacon Harold Brick. Siri's listening to Beacon of Truth, and it's Word of God Wednesday. Today on Beacon of Truth, grab your Bibles. We're breaking open God's Word for the 26th Sunday in Ordinary Time. Wonderful gospel parable by our Lord Jesus Christ about the rich man and Lazarus and the bosom of Abraham. A very popular parable. So we're going to talk about that today and would love to hear from you. You know, this is a powerful parable that I think that speaks to the heart of who we are, sharing our goods with others, sharing our lives with others and what's awaiting for us after this life. Give us a call, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986.
Got a free ebook for you today when you get some time or while you're online right now. Just go to EWTN.com/assumption to get the Pondering Heart of Mary. It helps to reflect and turn the Immaculate Mother into an opportunity for us to get closer with great images and quotes, all available for you for free. The ebook now. Again, EWTN.com/assumption.
All right, my friends, it is now time for the Soulful Psalm segment of Beacon of Truth. The Soulful Psalms, we take one of the Psalms from the Book of Sung Praises from the Wisdom Literature of the Old Testament, and we connect that Psalm to your everyday lived experience. And today we're continuing our walk through Psalm 119, the longest of all the Psalms, and it's extended reflection on the law of the Lord. Let's see. This is total number of verses is 176 verses in Psalm 119. So we're going to take a look at the end of the Kof strophe. So the way Psalm 119 is broken down, it's 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. Kof is the 19th letter. So each of the strophes of Psalm 119 is broken down to correspond to a letter of the Hebrew alphabet. So each of them have about eight verses each. And so Kof is verses 145 to 152. But we're going to take a look at starting at verse 147 to about 150. As we're going to take a look at today. Again, I love Psalm 119. Now, I remember in the monastery, and actually even in the Liturgy of the Hours now, the breviary, the four-week cycle, these psalms are prayed during noon prayer. So either terce, sect, or non, one of the midday hours, the mid-morning, noonday, and then mid-afternoon, you would pray some of these psalms. So they usually have the gradual psalms in there, and typically one of the psalms from 119 too, an extended again meditation on God's law. Kof started, or 145 start off, I call with all my heart, Lord, answer me. I will observe your statutes. I love that. And so grab your Bibles. We're diving at 147. I love this. I rise before dawn and cry for help. I have hoped in your word. So I rise before dawn and cry for help. So it's verses like this one back in the early church that, like, for example, St. Anthony, the first monk, St. Anthony of the Desert, who was the founder of monasticism, he would write, again, in correspondence with this psalm, he would pray all 150 psalms in a week. It's awesome. And he that's why some monks like Cistercians and the monks from St. Bruno's order, the Carthusians, they get up like literally. I mean, they take this verse literally. They get up in the middle of the night, and that's their first hour of prayer. When it's still dark outside, anticipation of the resurrection of Christ, you know, like Cistercians get up like at 2 a.m. That's how they start their day with prayer. So they take this literally. I rise before dawn and cry for help, you know? And so it's one of those things too, like for the rest of us who are not monks or nuns, who sometimes you can't sleep at night, you know, that maybe your heart is restless. Maybe you're worried about a family member, worried about something going on with one of your kids. Maybe something's going on at work. Maybe you're a little nervous because you haven't been feeling too well, and you know, maybe the cancer is back or something like that. You're just not sure what's going on, and it keeps you up at night. Well, the lesson we take from here, from the psalmist, is crying out to the Lord during those times, crying out for help. I have hoped in your word, and this is the Jubilee year of hope. And what is the word that we hope in? Jesus Christ. The word that became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. John 1:14. So when we can't sleep, we're lying in the middle of the night, we're restless, you know, we're anxious, that is the time to cry out to the Lord. You know, because we have hope in him. Not hope in anything in this world, hope in the Lord. Again, there's a parallelism here. My eyes awaken before dawn to ponder your promise, right? So it's kind of a extension. I think it's called enjambment is the technical phrase for that, where it's continuing the thought of the previous verse, or what's called a kola, the previous kola, and it's extending that into a different way of phrasing kind of the same meditation. And so my eyes awaken before dawn to ponder your promise. You know, and as for me, I always, and this is so interesting. I don't know how your body does this. But when I have my alarm set for a particular time, it doesn't matter what time it is. Sometimes it's 3 a.m. to get up to catch a 6 a.m. flight. Or maybe, you know, I have my alarm set for 7 if I'm doing something at 8 o'clock, you know, going to Mass. I'll get up at 7 and try and do some prayers and then head to Mass at 8. I always, my body just seems to wake up a half an hour before the alarm. Like clockwork. And it doesn't matter what time you have the alarm set for, you know. So to me, that's like, you know, it's God saying, look, you know, you have your time that you set, but there's also my time, you know, and we have to put our trust in God's time. Why? Because God's timing is always perfect. It's not our time. So I set the time, but my body says, nope, you know, just as a kind of a safety thing, I'm going to wake you up a little bit before that. You know, so we always have to be open and anticipating God's love working in our lives and God working his time. I love that. In verse 149, in your mercy, hear my voice, O Lord. So when we cry out to God, we want God to have mercy. We say, Kyrie eleison, right? In the Greek, Lord, have mercy. We cry out to God in the holy sacrifice of the Mass. If that particular penitential rite is used, we cry out, Lord, have mercy. So the psalmist is here also, in a sense, crying out, Lord, have mercy. Hear my voice when I cry to you. And I love this. Give me life by your decrees. Oh, I love that. Because God's word is alive. God's word is alive. Give me life by your decrees. The law of the Lord doesn't enslave us. The law of the Lord frees us. Frees us to become the person who God created us to be. That's where our true freedom lies. That's where our true peace lies. That's where our truth lies, in trusting in God's word and living by his laws. Again, 2 Samuel chapter 1. First Kings chapter 2, David on his deathbed is telling his son Solomon, follow the Lord's ways, the Lord's commandments, the Lord's statutes, the Lord's ordinances. And if you do that, you will succeed. Right. And so the psalmist, hey, again, this doesn't have a superscript or a prescript. So we don't know who particularly wrote this psalm. But the idea here is that we hear the voice of the Lord. We pursue him. And we trust him with our lives. I love that. And in doing that, he gives us life, not just like physical life, but life in our spirit, life in our souls. I love that. Those who pursue me with malice draw near. They are far from your law, because we're crying out to God for protection. Why? We're anticipating that those who are far away from God's law will try to come and take us away from the Lord, will try to convince us that our own way of thinking, our own way of acting, our own way of believing, or following the ways and thinking of the culture, that becomes your God. Well, you don't need God, you know. No, when you worship the things of the culture, that becomes your God. So everybody has a God. They may not believe in God, but everybody has a God. Something that they worship, something they put their trust in, something they put their hope in. And for us, it's Jesus Christ.
Yeah, and I think if you were to say, well, no, I don't have any gods or idols before me, look at your checkbook. Like, open your app and see where your money's going, because a lot of times that is where we're spending our most efforts and passions towards.
Or put the phone down. Mm. And don't even start looking at the apps or social media. Yeah. Ooh, that'll tell you real quick what's your God. And that's why I'm not on social media a lot. I don't watch television, you know, because those things, I a lot of people I'm around, they're angry all the time. You know, I ain't got time for that. Yeah. Life's too short.
Amen.
All right. Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers, and we're breaking open God's Word on this Word of God Wednesday for the 26th Sunday in Ordinary Time. Great parable by our Lord Jesus Christ, the rich man, Lazarus, and the repercussions of our actions. Give us a call today, 833-288-EWTN.
It's almost like a Gary Glitter.
Ah, yeah.
Just got that.
I like that. Again, very simple.
Yep.
I heard some artificial harmonics there on the guitar. They sound like little bells. Yeah.
Nice little accent.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I love doing harmonics on the guitar. There's natural harmonics and there's artificial harmonics.
So yeah.
The artificial ones, you use the pick and you just like make them scream. Eddie Van Halen had the, like, one of the best techniques for artificial harmonics. Just amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, cool song, Ace. Awesome.
Just bringing it.
Yeah, we got to get some more Ace originals up in here.
No, though, they're working on that too.
I'm Deacon Harold Brick. Everybody's listening to Beacon of Truth, and it's Word of God Wednesday today. We're breaking open God's Word for the 26th Sunday in Ordinary Time, an awesome parable, which I'm sure we're all familiar with, the rich man and Lazarus and the bosom of Abraham. That's what we're talking about today. Would love to hear from you, get your thoughts and reflections on this powerful parable by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986.
Of course, looking forward to the fact that we have lots to celebrate as we have two of our affiliates celebrating big anniversaries. Hope Family Radio with four stations across Michigan. They're getting ready with their pledge drive on Monday, so your financial support helping to make that a reality. And then in Massachusetts, Ohio, and Pennsylvania, 18 stations across that, plus you throw in New York, it adds up quickly for our friends at Station of the Cross. So wherever you are and whatever you've got going on, remember, support Catholic Radio to keep things strong. And thanks again for your support with EWTN Radio.
All right, my friends. Word of God Wednesday today on Beacon of Truth. We're breaking open God's Word for the Gospel for this Sunday, the 26th Sunday in Ordinary Time, looking at the parable that Jesus tells of the rich man and Lazarus and the bosom of Abraham today on Beacon of Truth. And this is year C, so it's from Luke's Gospel. And would love to hear your thoughts and reflections on this powerful parable of Jesus. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Well, first of all, let's take a look at the gospel. It's Luke chapter 16. And of course, Jesus here is addressing the Pharisees, right? So when Jesus typically addresses the Pharisees in the form of a parable, he's usually trying to teach them something, right? He's trying to teach us all something, of course, but particularly the Pharisees, who sometimes he points out their hypocrisy. All right. So here it says, there was a rich man who was dressed in purple garments, fine linen. He ate scrumptiously every day. I'm just going to paraphrase. And then so this guy was living the high life. He had his beautiful garments on. He ate well every single day. And outside his door was a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores. And all he wanted to do was eat the scraps that fell from this rich guy's table. He said even the dogs would come and lick his sores, right? Even the dogs had pity on Lazarus. And the man did nothing to help the man who was outside of his own door. And so then the poor man died. He was carried away by angels to the bosom of Abraham. Then the rich man also died. But it said, and from the netherworld where he was in torment, he raised his eyes and saw Abraham. And he cried out, Father Abraham, have pity on me. And then here's the arrogance. Send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and to cool my tongue. So even though he's in, you know, the netherworld, And it's obviously it's hot there. He's asking Lazarus to serve him, even though he paid no attention to this man while he was alive. Oh, yeah, have him serve me now while he's there with you and I'm down here. You know, God, he still doesn't get it yet. Because I'm suffering in these flames. Abraham said to him, my child, remember that you received what was good in your lifetime, and Lazarus likewise received what was bad. But now he's comforted here, whereas you are tormented. Moreover, between us is a great chasm. And I'm going to reflect it on that. A great chasm is established to prevent anyone from crossing who might not wish to go from our side to yours or from your side to ours. Then he said, well, okay, well, it's too late for me. But, you know, go have someone talk to, go to my father's house. I have five brothers. They can warn them. You know, and let them know, like, so that they don't end up in this place where I am. And he said, well, they have Moses and the prophets. Listen to them. You know, he goes, no, no, no. But if someone comes from the dead, then they'll believe and then they'll repent. And Abraham said, if they will not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded if someone should rise from the dead. You see where Jesus is going with this now, right? So that's the parable. Powerful, powerful witness by our Lord. So today's gospel, Sunday's gospel underscores that chasm, right? That unbridgeable gap between the carousing life of the rich man and the misery of the poor man. And it points out, so I would see that as a chasm between our faith and the culture. Now, obviously, the clear division would be heaven and hell. Okay, the eternal separation of God forever. And there's a chasm because if you're in heaven, you know, you're with God forever in heaven with him, the joy of everlasting life. Whereas, you know, if you're in hell, you and remember, you've chosen to be there. God didn't throw you there, condemn you there. God's accepted your free will, choice and decision to say no to him for all eternity. That's what hell is. Right. So that's one image. But I would also see the image as the church, our faith on one side in the bosom of Abraham and the culture on the other side. Because what does society say to us about who we are? How does the culture try to define us? If you look at primetime television and evening the news, again, both of which I don't watch because that's poison. They inundate us with half, except for EWTN News Nightly. Watch all the news on EWTN. That's awesome. But primetime, regular television and evening news inundate us with what? Half-truths and transient moral values. And so a society steeped in this kind of, soaking in this kind of hot tub of half-truths and transient moral values and relativism, they try to convince us that the teachings of the Catholic Church is, nothing but a bunch of archaic rules and medieval regulations, and it's like slavery, you know. And so how do they justify that value proposition? As long as I'm a good person, I don't need anyone to tell me what to do or how to live. I don't need a church. I don't need commandments. I don't need bishops. I don't need a law. Because why? I am a law unto myself. Right. I am a law unto myself. I am God. Right. That's the culture. And again, the thinking of the rich man. I'm caught up in myself. Right. I'm rich. I'm happy. Everything else in the world doesn't matter, including the other people, that young man sitting outside my door. I don't care about him. You know, that's his thing. I got to worry about myself. No, no, that is not what it means to be a follower of Jesus. You know, and you heard me say this before, it's when we give ourselves away in love is when we truly find ourselves a God. Our whole thing is to make a gift of ourselves to others, not to be self-centered, not to be focused on the self, right? And Charbel talked about this the other day. The opposite of love is not hate. The opposite of love is selfishness. A love turned in on itself, not as a gift to others, but turned in on itself. That's the story of the rich man. Because why? His reward was all the accolades and all the money, all the things he was able to buy, the lifestyle he was able to live. That's his reward. He's already received his reward. If you think you can do that and neglect the commandments, neglect your faith, neglect the sacraments, don't go to mass, don't go to confession, somehow, because you believe you're a good person, you're going to heaven, think again. It ain't happening. All right? I mean, if this parable doesn't convince you, then I don't know what will. Jesus is serious here, you know, and he's trying to make a point to the Pharisees here, you know, that you just can't walk around with your gowns and your phylacteries and your tassels and all this stuff and look how great I am because I'm a rabbi, whatever. No, that doesn't matter. It matters how you live, what you do with your life, the gift that you make of yourself to others. It's not about you. You know, it's not about the God of me, myself, and I that the culture worships, the trinity of me, myself, and I. So this whole good person, and I've said this before, there are no good people in heaven. There's not one good person in heaven. The only people in heaven are saints, And that's what God calls us to: sanctity, holiness, not perfection, because that's why we have the sacrament of reconciliation. No, sometimes we make really big, scary, messy mistakes. But when it's a love turned in on itself, right? And that's where we run into problems. That's where we run into pride, envy, greed, gluttony. All of the vices come from the fact that we've turned away from God and turned inward to ourselves. I'm a good person thing, that's not going to fly when you're standing before Jesus. Not at all. So in the first reading was the reading from the prophet Amos, right? And so Amos is talking about woe to the complacent in Zion, stretched comfortably on their couches, eating their lambs and their calves in the stalls, and improvising to the music of the harp like David. They devised their own accompaniment. Ooh, look at that, the music analogy there. Love that. They drink from bowls and the best wines and the best oils and And he says, therefore, now they shall go first into exile, and their wanton revelry shall be done away with. You see, it only lasts for a while. Right? It's not anything that's going to give you ultimate happiness and fulfillment. Amos even warns us about this. But again, what did they do to the prophets? They neglected the prophets. They denied the prophets. Right. And so Jesus now is no more prophecy after Jesus. Jesus is the fulfillment of God's word. And so when Jesus is talking about this parable, we have to really look at our own lives and take the words of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ seriously. Right. Would love to hear your thoughts. Give us a call today. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Again, we're breaking open God's word on this Word of God Wednesday for the gospel for this Sunday. Jesus talking about the rich man and Lazarus, and the rich man being in the unquenchable fire, and Lazarus being in the bosom of Abraham. You know, so complacency, lethargy, overindulgence, that was happening during the time of Amos. And think about it. That's also us today. You know, we're complacent about our faith. We're complacent when it comes to truth. We're lazy when it comes to practicing our faith. We overindulge every day in different vices. And so for many of us, immediate self-gratification takes place over chastity. The inherent dignity of the woman is basically eliminated. And what self-respect remains is exploited for superficial pleasure, human trafficking, pornography, things like that. Domestic abuse and other forms of senseless violence are perpetrated. It's almost like a wave happening. The hatred, the vitriol, all of the anger, all of that is welling up. And, that's where we are today. And so, yes, we're in the midst of that. But yet there's and a lot of people think, well, that's the end. I live my life. I get as much pleasure as possible. Very Epicurean way of thinking. You know, Epicurus was a guy back in the time of the Romans who believed that, you know, there was a disparity between good and bad, good and evil. So we have to focus on the things that make us happy and gives us pleasure, and eliminate those things in a life that make us feel bad. And so just live for today, live for pleasure, because at the end, there's nothing. At the end, there's nothing. That was the mistake of the rich man in the gospel, thinking, I just live this life however I want, and somehow I'm going to get to heaven. And you see, he didn't make it to heaven, right? And neither will we if we deny the truth of living in our faith in light of the teachings of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Again, not because God condemns us, because we condemn ourselves by our actions. By the way we live, that's what determines whether you go to heaven or not. It's not a coin flip. It's not just show up at Mass every Sunday and punch the clock. We have to live our faith with passion and conviction. And Jesus has teaching some hard truths. Love your enemies and pray for them, right? If someone takes your cloak, give them your cloak as well. You know, it's if someone, you know, slaps you on one side of your face, turn the face to the other side. What? You know, love if you're anyone who loves me, they're my brother and sister and mother. And he goes, you think I've come to bring peace? I come to bring the sword. Mother against daughter, father against son, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law. You know, because even the truth will divide. Jesus has some tough teachings, and this is one of them today. You know, so we have to be careful and not think and act like the culture. We have to get ourselves back on track. You know, St. Paul lays out a great foundation. Pursue righteousness, devotion, faith, love, lay hold of eternal life. Right? That's our goal. So how do we do that? How do we break away from the thinking of the culture and begin to live the way that God has called each one of us to live? Would love to hear how you do that, because maybe your story can be an inspiration to others, how they break away from the thinking of this world. What are some things you do every day to focus your life on eternal life with God forever? Yes, we live in the world. St. Paul says we are in the world, but not of the world. So what kinds of things you do every day to keep yourself focused on remembering that after this life, there is eternal life with God forever? 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Again, we're breaking open God's word for this Word of God Wednesday. Great parable from our Lord about the rich man and Lazarus in the bosom of Abraham. And so what does God want for us? I mean, what does he really want for us? He wants intimate, personal, loving, and life-giving relationship with us. That's it. Everything that we do, every prayer that we pray, every sacrament we receive, everything that we do is directed toward intimate, personal, loving, and life-giving communion with the living God. He speaks to us through his word, Jesus Christ. Right? So I'd love to hear from you today. What kinds of things are you doing to stay focused on that? In the midst of everything going on in the world that wants to take faith away from us, what are you doing? Because I know there are people out there that can be inspired by what you're doing to stay strong in your faith in the midst of everything going on in the culture, so we can rest in the bosom of Abraham. Would love to hear from you today. Give us a call on Beacon of Truth, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. So God wants to establish a communion of love and life with us. It's more than just an exchange of words. Through the Eucharist, it's an exchange of persons, right? God wants to give life to us, but we in turn have to give life to others, right? So what should the rich man, again, not judging the guy, but what should he have done? He saw that poor man. What he should have seen was Christ. I see Christ, just like I come back to her all the time, because I just love how she embodied this. St. Teresa of Calcutta. Every single person, she saw God in them. You know, and that's the way we need to look at our brothers and sisters, through the eyes of Christ. So we see not just someone, oh, that's too bad, that's their thing, I'm worried about myself. No, we see Jesus standing in front of us. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Jeff is calling from Lancaster, Pennsylvania, listening on Sirius XM 130. Jeff, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Hi, Deacon.
Hey, great to hear from you.
Great show this morning, this afternoon. I got to tell you what great lessons in there, but one that strikes me is the rich guy, he gets it. I mean, talk about getting it very clearly. So much so that he just, even though there's a chasm that can't be crossed, now he gets it, and now he's begging so that he can help others. What a great guy, man. Now he gets it, right? And so it's just the insight I got is all of us are going to get it. But why do we have to wait till we get to the judgment, after we separate from our earthly tents? Why do we have to get it then? Because then I think there's the chasm there. And if they won't believe that anybody raised from the dead, they wouldn't believe that anyway. So why? So there is this great mystery. But isn't that our faith? And now to your question of, so how do you think you could live more in the Spirit, or better said, the Spirit more in you?
Yes.
How about starting your morning in prayer, maybe the rosary. How about, before you get out of bed, how about listening to the Bible on Audible while you go to bed?
Yes.
You know, how about go to daily mass? That's an idea. How about read the living word of God that is there to water the souls of the family? And how about we know it now? Not later, but now. And then how about we humble ourselves, thank God for the sacraments, because, boy, I can really lay the language out, but I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. I still, even though I've got the grace of God and sealed by the Holy Spirit, still in the flesh until the second coming comes, well, I'm in the church militant, and I'm not perfect. I want to be, but I'm not by a long shot. Pray for me. I'll pray for you guys. Thanks.
Thank you, Jeff. I love that. And I think as you were talking, I was thinking about why. Why do people not get it before? Because you're right, he did get it, but he got it too late. In fact, he gets it so much, he wants Abraham to send people from the dead to warn his brothers so he doesn't end up, they end up where he is. He even has, you know, show mercy to them. It's too late for me. I'm not asking for me, but I'm asking on behalf of my brother, of my family, so they don't end up here. Man, you're totally right, Jeff. He gets it. But the problem is this. I think while he was living, and I think this is the mindset of many people today, well, God is love and God is mercy. So I could just do whatever I want because, you know what, God just loves me anyway. It doesn't matter. And, you know, I just have to be good, whatever that means, because you're defining for yourself what it means to be good. Now, remember, the other rich man, right, he says, what must I do to have eternal life? And Jesus said, you have to follow the commandments. And he goes, I've already done all that. Then he says, well, okay, sell everything you have, give it to the poor, and come follow me. It's almost as Jesus is inviting him to be an apostle, right? To be a disciple. Follow me. And he couldn't do it. He couldn't do it. And so many people today, God is giving clear signs and clear warnings that, you know, if we focus on ourselves, there are going to be eternal repercussions of our actions. But they're falling back, you know, to the default of, well, just God is love and God is mercy and I just have to be good. You know, as long as I don't kill anybody. I mean, there are 9 more commandments. You know, so I think there's and I mentioned this before, spiritual lethargy, spiritual laziness. But you're right. I love the suggestions that Jeff talked about today, reading the scriptures, praying the rosary, starting the day with prayer, going to mass. That's the basics. But what that does, again, helps us to focus on the eternal truths of our faith, because there is a heaven. There is a hell. You can count on that. You know, people who say that there's not a hell or the hell is empty, they don't know what they're talking about. No, there are, because look, there are people in hell. We know from the visions of Fatima. We know from Padre Pio. We know from the visions of Faustina and many other saints who were shown visions of hell. And there were people there. Now, we don't know who's there, but there are people there by their own free will choice. So we always have to choose the true, the good, and the beautiful in order to attain eternal salvation. Again, remember, we have to also see God living in the brothers and sisters in front of us, however that may look for you. You know, so we can't ignore and neglect the poor or the downtrodden, and even those who are spiritually poor. You know, we have to enter into dialogue with those that we disagree with. Why? Because we love them. We want to show them the power of God's love. And that often starts with personal testimony. I am going to bear witness to the power of God's love in the way I live. Right? And that's the important thing. The witness leads to a person questioning, asking questions, going deeper. And then our job then is to help lead them to a deeper love of Jesus Christ. That's the whole thing. And really what it comes down to is truth, right? John, that's one of the tenets of this show, John 14:6. Jesus Christ says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And truth will come when we persistently ask God for it. Truth will come when we love the Lord our God, as it says in the Shema in the Old Testament, or as Jesus reiterates in the New Testament, we love the Lord our God with our whole heart, soul, mind, and strength. Truth will come We ask God to know and to do His will. His will to help us become the person who He created us to be, made in His image and likeness, and to see that image and likeness in the person standing in front of us. So, as Jeff beautifully suggested, you know, pray, knock, seek, ask, talk to God just as you would with an intimate friend, right? Just love that. All right. Tomorrow we'll have Dr. Robert Haddad, one of the speakers on tour from Australia. He's awesome, amazing apologist. We're going to talk about Catholic apologetics. Remember, you can stream today's show by visiting podcastcentral.ew10.com/radio. And until we're together again, may Almighty God bless you, keep you, and protect you. The Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.